Well, those are pretty high standards. I don't know whether this show can actually meet those.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh.
Hello.
That's our show. That's what's happening next. I didn't realize it would go over to that. I thought I'd precluded that eventuality occurring. Yes, it's the International Connection. If I sound out of breath, it's because I've made a round trip to the International Connection headquarters to make sure that this show goes on today. I came here and the file that I had for the Bob Dobbs section was faulty and would not play. So I had to go back and do it again. And here it is today, August 22nd, 1990. Pretend you're back then. Or pretend you're now. I don't think it'll make any difference one way or the other. This is Bob Dobbs with Mike Dyer. This was played August 22nd, 1990 on CKLN Radio. It would have been a Wednesday night, Thursday morning, starting at around midnight. We're picking it up about an hour into the program. Here are Bob and Mike and callers.
I give up.
Hello? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yo.
You're on, talk to us. Turn up your radio. Maybe the long distance.
Radio's on.
Oh. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Are you in Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to begin?
Yeah, I want to talk to Mike about his comment about David Lynch.
Oh, my comment. You actually listened to what Mike said?
Well, I tried not to.
Thank you. Okay, what did he say? I'm going to take a break here.
Well, no, I was just wondering about his comment about Lynch and about the TV program. He said that kind of bothered me.
Go ahead, hit him.
I can be held accountable.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, you think about David Lynch, and it's like, you know, he's got epic, you know, stories. You think about Eraserhead and then Dune and Twin Peaks. He needs a long-winded situation to where he can talk about a lot of things. And I always thought, when I saw Twin Peaks, that he needed that period of time, a long period of time, to tell his story. He wants to be the narration of a book put into TV. Yeah. And I just wanted to know what you thought about it, Bob.
Well, Mike, what's your quibble with Mike? Mike knows that. He was saying the regular viewers didn't like the length of it. No, maybe they didn't mind the length. They didn't mind
the length. It was just that it
didn't end.
It was a very un-television.
They thought it was a movie. So
yeah,
it should end.
Yeah, it was very film-like.
So what is it called that Mike said? I don't get what you're quibbling about what Mike said. What did he say that was bugged you?
I think TV should be more. It shouldn't be a soap opera. It's just that David Lynch got to say what he wanted to say. And actually, even in the hours that it went on, he even didn't even express his opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in fact he only directed one episode himself.
Yeah, this is true, but it was his baby from the start.
Oh, yeah,
from
no,
what we heard.
It has his stamp on it.
Yeah, and definitely. I think that we should see more of this, and that is especially for situations and what we see and what we hear, we should see more of it.
But more of what? More? Are you saying long movies?
No, not long-winded, but I mean, like, hasn't anybody ever told you that when the movie is never as good as the book? It's because, you know, movie people want to always cut everything in half.
Oh, you're saying that people should be given space to present something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the electric environment can't be bought, sold, or stolen. The funny thing is that the money world cannot relate to the electric medium, and there shouldn't be much space given to everybody because it's free. It's a medium that cannot be controlled. It's just a fake that it has to be paid for by our advertising.
I'm in total agreement. Now, what can we do about this?
Well, put me in power. That's the whole agenda here. You know, agitate for Bob.
Yeah, for Bob. I just called tonight because I'm a bleak virgin.
Well, have you ever heard our show before?
No, actually. One of a very good friend of mine who's been listening to you for years, named Tim, who's here right now.
Who, Tim Howe?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know Tim Howe?
I know everybody in Toronto.
No, but I respect
David.
Look
at that woman in the background. You know Tim Howe? Jack Layton.
Just can I make a comment here?
Sure.
It's a footnote to this whole story with David Lynch is that he's just recently been signed to do commercials for television.
Just like John Oswald.
Sort of.
God,
yeah.
I can't. I must believe it. Like a 30-minute commercial. It's gonna be great.
Basically, yeah. It's an 8-week commercial, and there's no ending.
There's no ending. No, it's like a Newsweek show.
No, he's doing perfume commercials, and he's basing each commercial on a classic film from the 40s.
Yeah, so he's going to put all the film backwards and, like, say everything forwards.
That's right. And there'll be hidden messages.
So as a Manipian satirist, he knows he can work in any medium. Well, that's the detachment that's necessary for an artist today. What did Tim tell you about my show? We should be talking about me, not David, so much. You know that David said he owed everything to Bob?
Actually, Tim said he owes everything to you, Bob.
Well, that's true. Yeah, Tim does. Well, what does he owe to me, though? What did he get from me?
You know, he hasn't seen Twin Peaks, and we've made a pact that we're going to watch the whole show one day, this Sunday.
By taping it?
No, we've already got it taped. I'm gonna put it on the videotape. We're going to watch the whole show.
That's a great experience. It's addictive. You'll have that addictiveness satisfied for at least, 20 hours or whatever.
No, I think a month.
Eight hours.
Month.
It's an eight-hour show, I think. Yeah, month, yeah. So you never heard the show. You don't know I'm on a political campaign here.
You're on a political campaign?
Yeah, I run the solar government, but my campaign is to have you find out that that's what's happening. And then the more you find out that I'm running the show, then we can implement my policies because you'll be able to match with them. That's the point. I already do run the show behind the scenes.
They did, huh?
The whole global theater. Now, this is preposterous to say, but most people can't believe it, but it's taken at least 3 years now to educate a few people to begin to dimly perceive that's true. We had Tom on there saying to me 2 weeks ago that it's lonely at the top. He knows I'm the greatest artist alive today. And Jerry's doing an article on me for Mondo called The Greatest Artist Alive Today. This is a fact. The point is so many discarnate super angelic megalomaniacs run around thinking they're candidates that we can't get them to understand, to bow down, not in a negative way, but to bow down and acknowledge my agenda, and we get this media ecology on the road.
My God, Bob, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, isn't that startling?
Don't lose your words there.
Well, you know, it's in the gap. You know that people get attention if they start to stutter, so I don't mind stuttering occasionally because it creates a little interval and people listen harder.
Okay, no, my girlfriend's yelling at me in the air right now. She's asking me, what do you think about the environment? If you're on a political campaign, you know, you must have some view on the environment. Like, really, we're going clichéville right now.
Yeah, you know what I say about the environment? Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off. Turn all of it off. Even those screaming about greenism, eco-fascists, turn them off. Turn it all off. Turn the industrial, turn every environment off. And you know how you do it? You turn off TV. That'll slow us to a standstill.
God, I just listen to the radio.
Oh, yeah, that's the only anesthetic you can have today. But no, we're talking about TV as the motor mechanism of fashion and war making. So,
it's an awful thing, but my girlfriend's dead now. She just killed herself.
Just now. Yeah, that's what happens. I used to do that years ago.
Sounds like another performance piece.
Yeah, kill people on the air. I've done that. They never caught me either. I can confess it. Nobody believes it. So scot-free again. Freemasonic, you know, the secret society in Edinburgh. The Scottish Freemasons.
Bob, it's been a real pleasure.
It hasn't been a pleasure, has it?
No, it has been, actually.
Can you prove that? How can we feel your pleasure? Okay, how could you express it so I could feel it?
How can you express it?
Yeah, no, how can I feel it?
How about a rebel yell?
Well, come on over.
Ah!
Okay, you can stay on the air. That was obscene, but don't get paranoid. We're okay.
No, listen. Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can you do me a favor? Can you say hello to Tim? So he wants to say hello to you.
It's the 22nd. He better be ready for it. He's saying hello to me on the 22nd. His first
okay,
time.
Okay, here we go. 20 seconds. I'm counting down. 19.
20 seconds.
18.
Dr. Reed.
Hi, Bob.
Tim, we have good
been a while,
reason.
Tim. What was it, in Kenya about 400 years ago, right?
No.
I've never read any
of special
interest. You know, James Joyce, I listen to your tapes, it's all taped and over, and I still don't know what you're talking about.
But you like it.
I like it. I communicate
yeah,
before and beyond understanding. That's the point here.
I know. Well, I'm trying to get a grasp on it, but... It slowly sinks in. I think after
you have long.
It's like sex. Like you know, when you have sex, you like it, but you don't understand it when you think about it, right? You can't understand sex.
We
right?
To make
so I'm sex. Audio sex is Jerry's friend Lisa said. It's something you enjoy, and we'll just keep tactile rubbing.
Hi, Bob.
Tim, did we kill Tim? Where did he? Is he still there?
Kill Tim.
Swamp gas, Tim. So do you know Tim Howe?
No.
Okay. Do you know,
is he a musician?
Mike told me not to go into personal stuff. Okay. Yeah, Tim's a musician. Yeah, Niagara.
Yeah, somebody here knows him.
Yeah, Niagara. You know, Clunder. Harold Klunder, is it, Mike? Harold Klunder. So, Tim, you know what I mean by sex, right? It's
had it once.
Yeah, and you don't understand it fully, right? You better
be ready. No.
But you're going to keep taping it. Keep taping that personal sex you have. Play it back to us. Play it back to me, Bobby.
Play it back, Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need, some more real slack from Garrett Dean.
Oh, my God. I just quoted Garrett. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know that. That's why I said that.
That's amazing. You remember what he said?
Well, I got Garrett Dean. You said something on that tape about this has been an amazing show and somebody wasn't there to tape it, but it is taped. We have it taped.
Oh, what show is that, Mike?
February 22nd, maybe.
Oh, yeah, we did get that one. The one where we were doing a lot of reverb.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, Garrett, I talked about Garrett Dean. Do you remember when he goes, when the children were talking about when they were children, when the
farmers were talking about when they had fields and the mothers were talking about when they had lovers.
This guy's got it down, right? I love you, Tim. I'm going to give you a personal audition.
Garrett had that slack sensibility.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you perfect introduction to Garrett. You've got a private audience. We'll offer that as a prize during fundraising, too, Mike. Personal audience with Garrett. You're amazing, Tim. Are you any relation to Garrett?
No,
You just pay attention to
heard
the
him that one night.
Yeah, do that again. When the fields were talking when they were fields. When the mothers were talking about when they were lovers. What's the next one? The children were talking about and the barns were talking about when they had rules.
Children were talking about when they were children. Lay it back to me, Bobby. And I want to know what that strange voice you were talking in that. The only time you talked normal was when Garrett said he was going to have, when he said, shut up, Bobby, I'm going to faint. And you said, no, don't faint.
And I sounded normal?
Yeah, but the rest of the time you were talking in some strange voice.
Yeah, Garrett brings me out, it brings it out of me. Every holy office mutates me into a certain audio personality. Elliot's The Wasteland, originally it was called He Do the Police in Different Voices. Who are the brain police? That's me. I do the police in different voices. But I don't do the voices myself. I change in response to the voices offered by the holy offices from McLuhan, Skolnick, and so forth. You know what I mean? You ever read Lyndon LaRouche? Have you got that far yet? That's tricky stuff to get into. Have you got that far?
I haven't understood one thing you've talked about and all this. You know, we listen to this over and over again. You're taking every day and
well, I'll give you a clue. You got to go get Finnegan's Wake. Finnegan's Wake is what we use. We use Finnegan's Wake, which is a radio in print.
You know, I dropped out of school, 10, 12 years ago, and I tried to read some James Joyce years ago. My brother gave to me.
Well, you have an advantage. You have an advantage. You see, it's the most intelligent people believe the myths of their time and are most successful at it. They're the ones who become the professional yuppies and leaders, and they believe the myths, and they become stupid.
I'm trying to get on welfare myself.
Well, that's the right direction. Go in that direction. Head for welfare, because that'll give you slack and give you time to understand Finney's Wake.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
Communism is way better than Christianity. Communism is way better, far superior to Christianity. Okay, caller, we're ready, Mike. That's
okay.
It, Tim. You're wonderful.
Thank you. Bye, bye, bye.
Oh, that guy is, that's a good student, Mike. I'm happy. On the 22nd, can you believe it?
It's good night tonight, Bob.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Let's tell them what we're doing. We're taping this for our audition for a solar apparatus.
Do you think we should bring that up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bob Mackowitz, Jane Hotton, no?
If you want to get it out in the open, that's fine.
Okay, maybe later.
Be aware that, Bob and Mike are applying for big money to get this show out nationwide, across the continent, if not across the country.
To make the solar government obvious, get us on satellite.
Yeah, and perhaps we could turn to our listeners at some point and ask for letters of support and phone calls, and they could phone Bob, the other Bob.
Bob Mackowitz
indicating that
down at the Torstar building.
They should support our company.
What was that? Room 2416.
Yes.
Room 2416. CKEY radio.
The 24th floor. There is no 25th floor. Well, there is, but you're not allowed
up there.
You
can't get up there. Yeah. So we got another caller?
We don't right now. It's quiet right now, which is unusual. I think it's sort of a calm because, after 1 o'clock, things...
Did we cut off Madison?
We lost Madison, Wisconsin, tonight.
Did you fail to keep on hold?
Well, I guess they'd hung up, so we went
They did perform well. But, Mike, it's important to bring in some new points.
Okay, there is a phone call. Do you want to go to it?
Okay, yeah.
So we'll go to this caller. You're listening to CKLN FM 88.1, by the way, the Church of the Subgenius. My name is Michael Dyer with Bob Dobbs. Hello.
Hi, I'm calling from my own swamp. It's next to the dehumidifier and just around the corner.
We can hear it.
Furnace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I'm on the air.
You are?
Hi.
You don't have a radio.
Yeah.
Kent should be over there telling
me. Okay, we can handle it.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, there, I heard I'm on.
Yeah.
Can you hear us now?
Oh, there, thank you.
Hello.
Oh, the dehumidifier went off, too. Anyway, I thought you were just plugging yourself. You were, one could say, you were hyping yourself, and this sounds promising.
Wait a minute.
National distribution, international distribution via satellite, intergalactic distribution of...
How did you hear this? This will give it away that this is scripted. You didn't hear. You're in a place with no radio, right?
Well, when I... sort of, yeah.
Okay, so you are listening. All right.
But I wanted to give you a free plug.
Okay, go ahead.
On September 26th, J.R. Bob Dobbs and his co-pilot, Michael Dyer, will be presenting an exclusive interview with the Exists. Do they see all and know all and hear all?
Yeah. They see everything in our dimension.
Taste all?
No.
Oh. Well,
they see and hear.
But they're going to be discussing some provocative issues of the 90s from a intergalactic viewpoint. Is that the...
Yep.
Yeah, there goes my plug.
They're going to be able to tell... This, you're reading... This is the ad that's going into Hype magazine?
This will be some kind of promotion in Hype magazine. And Hype magazine does live up to its name. I might as well hype it a bit.
Yeah. No, listen, the thing is about... that's a really good point. I don't know if the Exists can smell us or taste us. What do you think, Mike? What's your intuition there in another dimension? I'm going to have to check that out.
Maybe that's a question for the next session.
Yeah, the hidden ground of tactile environment is smell. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Ed, so...
just wanted to mention that you have seen a few new listeners tonight, but the September 26th show, your exclusive audience with the Exists will be shared with your national audience.
The history of the Western conspiracy from 1400 till now, it is factual, it is relevant, it'll tell you...
I guess you'll have to hang up before I take it.
We're not talking to you, caller.
Okay.
The thing is that the history of the conspiracy for the last 600 years will be laid out in remarkable detail in giving you the pattern of the 90s and help you understand and have slack so that you can get back to finning his weight in more important matters.
Well, one other theme in the show's coming up tonight about sexual difference. You were talking about the campiness of David Lynch's Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And Twin Peaks seemed to be a female symbol from my junior high schoolyard.
Yeah.
The symbolism there with Twin Peaks. And then someone else mentioned tonight the McDonald's subtext to it, which is somewhat male, I believe.
Well, part of Lynch's Manipian sensibility is that he's still in high school. You know what I mean? He's still a little kid.
And Manipian refers to... The word Manipian,
you don't know?
No.
Manipian refers to a writer about 220 B.C., 230, 220 B.C., Menippus, M-E-N-I-P-P-U-S. There's only fragments of his work available, but he did the unmitigated, audacious act of mixing his prose and verse. He mixed his styles and forms in the writing of that time. It was considered quite blasphemous. Hence, Manipian satire comes from the tradition of his fragments, Menippus. Okay? Kirk,
hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, the origin of the word camp was commonly acknowledged as male prostitute.
We didn't actually lose that word, he just
kept talking.
There was a gap there in my sentence, it was quite interesting. Anyway, this is an interesting theme. Like Bob did confess to being a woman one night on the air, and one of the holy offices, Frank Zappa, wanted to call his band the Mothers, and then, well, I guess it was a wee little touch of pink when 23, 25 years ago, the record company said, of invention, they kind of nudged him to do that, and then there's, you know, one of the radical stars of early TV was Liberace, who certainly is exponent of camp. And there's still an edge about camp, about satire, you know, about irony. Some of the audience seems turned off by Twin Peaks because of campiness. And it has gone beyond just being a cult term applied by police, you know, as a label to... fringe people, to cross-dressers, marginal people. So there just seems to be a theme bubbling underneath, well, a theme bubbling underneath Bob. There's 22 to the 22nd power sub-themes to your show.
Talking to me, Ed?
This happened to be...
You're talking to Mike, or to a kid in the background, right? You're on the air, you know.
One of them. Oh, am I in the air?
Yes, we've been spying on you. So you thought you were talking to Kent.
Yeah, the dehumidifier went off again. I just heard you. Well, I...
The thing about this Lynch camp stuff is that it doesn't appear camp to me. It appears real, you know, the show. It's documentary. That's the thing, is that it depicts it's campy, or it seems to be a satire, but to the subgenius, it's real. It's documentary.
I am not quite sure.
What do you think, Ed?
I am not quite sure.
Yeah, but that's your script. This is a new innovation in our show. We now have our prompters via audio. The thing about camp is put on. I mean, editorials are take-offs.
I am now...
But what is put on?
An assistant...
To put on the audience
the
as opposed to take off on somebody. That's the difference.
Of the Bank right? Street House.
Now, there's the question is... I mean, the
my
stripper takes off her clothes and puts on the audience.
I'm not...
She wears the audience. That's what Mike liked about McLuhan when he went to see the topless. He was amazed at McLuhan's response when he said the topless people were wearing us.
Provide a good
so the stripper
background.
Takes off her clothes to put on the audience. So there's a fine line. Nudity is a fine line in the interval between taking off and putting on. We just got a pseudo-exis communication. Mike has no idea where it's coming from. This is Eddie, and this is the humidifier. This is a phenomenal new point. We don't know where it came from.
Well, I'll be...
No, Ed, you're not getting off. What do you have to say about take off and put on?
Let me try something. I'll rectify this. Edward on hold. Edward's on hold. Go to that. That's gone. Come back to Edward.
Hello?
Hi.
Great.
Okay, beep's gone.
Edward, what do you think the difference is between take off and put on? This is your opportunity to tell everybody if you've got a breakthrough on that.
Take off and put on. I just had a vision of Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah?
Isn't that banal?
Dear,
well, it's the Mad Magazine is editorial.
Thank you.
It's sort of an editorial takeoff level. The put on... Is more Saturday Night Live? Yeah. Maybe put on his oral and take off is satire in a visual medium. I think we could get the taking off is a put on visual means. Putting on is an oral or tactile culture is a form of satire. Thank you. Well, I think you've helped me just by bringing up the Alfred E. Newman. That helps me clarify that distinction. Thanks, Ed. I think we should go to another caller, Ed. If we don't have any more callers, everybody call back. Scott, Tom.
Yeah, I think the other gentleman was talking about Lockerbie, John Tipton. Tom, was it?
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, that was...
Informative. Yeah, we should have Tom back if he's still awake.
Enjoying the show very much. Good work, Ellen. Good
thank
night.
Thank you. Edward. Imagine Cecil Taylor allowing someone to come up in the middle of his piano solo. We're enjoying this, Cecil, very much. Keep going. that's never done anywhere else. This is jazz, Mike. This is the real jazz. What is jazz? Bill Grove used to ask, what is jazz? Well, it's right here every second Wednesday.
Well,
that's real jazz.
This is improvisation.
Discarded. Mike's looking out at the audience. He's grinning. He feels like the dead pianist from Grateful Dead.
We do have another caller, so just keep them coming.
Keep
coming. Fast, fast, fast.
Where's the mic's pace?
Little media bites. Here we go. Hi, Sikaran.
By practicing it's with dictation
so
discs,
low,
as I said,
you won't believe
there is no reason to fail in shorthand.
This is excellent. I'm starting to get... I'm going to have a second coming. You better watch it, Mike. I'm starting to get that sex.
Well, we're...
What's the time?
It's about 20 after 1.
Oh, we got lots of time. I imagine you didn't bring any tapes in, Mike, and you have nothing scheduled,
right?
So we got lots of time. You know, there was something, you remember 2 weeks ago, someone played the tape of the bubbling water. We're listening to the archives of that show. I thought that was a great communication because I think I was talking about water and stone before that. So this person...
I'm sorry, I didn't bring that tape in tonight.
Replayed the water theme. I don't know if they meant that consciously, but I was struck by the coherence of the contributions relating to themes that we had talked about earlier in the show. That was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Just thinking back to this other caller, you know, talking about, asking about your position as a politician on the environment, it bothers me. Why does that bother me, Bob? Was it because they were critical of my comments on David Lynch, but I wasn't sure why they were critical?
No, that's the other call. The environment call.
That was part of that same group of people, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That was the Tim guy. I don't think they...
It sounds like they watch a lot of TV.
Okay.
It sounds like they're...
No, it sounds like they're film nuts. they're
really soon?
Yeah, because they're gonna, they're so precious.
It was like he was getting very defensive because he thought I was coming down on
David Lynch.
On television.
And David Lynch.
And David Lynch, I guess.
And you weren't. You're a film scholar yourself.
Well, no, I wouldn't call myself a scholar.
Yeah, but you study film. I think we got something precious here is that this person values film so much, they're going to isolate the discounted experience of watching Twin Peaks with millions of others and have their own private showing. That's creating a little cocoon. That's electric autonomy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think the person, since they listen to our shows over and over and listen to tapes, they haven't got the drift. They misinterpreted you, misunderstood, and they also don't even know that environment is such a singular noun that we never talk in terms of the environment. That's a pictorial illusion, the environment. A pictorial illusion. Mm-hmm. We're part of the eco-fascism hologram that we're living in right now.
Well, the best way to understand TV is just to turn the sound off anyway.
That's right. It's a mime. It's a mimetic sculptural medium. It's mm-hmm. not acoustic. It's more acoustic than visual, but it's more tactile, which is sculptural, than acoustic or visual. This takes a long time. I mean, imagine this Tim guy and him or his friend will be taping, listening to this and trying to understand. Look, just read some of the Holy Offices. I'm just ripping off the Holy Offices. Yeah. I'm like John Oswald. I rip off the greats and create something new.
Well, no one remembers the words anyway.
Yeah, well, it's not important.
That's why people have to tape, so they can listen and re-listen.
It's an itch. It's an itch. They do want to get the meaning. That's part of the left hemisphere. It is. It's a functioning part of your apparatus. You got to satisfy it. You got to do your homework. Mm-hmm. You got a call?
Yes, we do, actually. Mm-hmm. I think it's Tom calling, actually.
Oh, great.
I have this feeling it's Tom.
Okay, you predict it?
Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
Hello.
Mike's first attempt.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Ah, Mike was right. His first attempt to be psychic here on the public situation.
Well, Bob, Wyndham Lewis wrote his book, Men Without Art.
Yeah, and you want to get back on that.
You are the only, you're the worst artist in the world.
Yeah, I'm what?
We have to put up with you, Bob.
Yeah, this is very important, Tom. No, I don't take that as a compliment. I take it as a compliment because we know that new art is always ugly. The new important art is always ugly.
Yeah,
and I might come across as ugly, too. What?
Art is whatever you can get away with.
I am the worst artist, but the mystery is why am I allowed on the air, right?
Well, I certainly wish they'd beef up the power.
What, you can't get it?
No. But it would
for me. You wish more people heard me.
That's right.
That's what you mean.
Yeah.
I was listening to the archives of your comment last 2 weeks ago, and I have to thank you about how you praise my situation. I know it's not sentimental what you're saying, or what's that word where you're involved, incestuous. It's not incestuous. I can't remember the word. I'm not paying you. The point is you just make that as a detached statement.
Yeah, that's correct.
You don't even, in other words, you don't even care. You don't even have to listen to my story. You know the worst and best artists and greatest artists is happening. You just need to know that.
That's right. It's interesting that it is happening in Toronto.
Toronto is run 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah, two run two. The two runs the two. I mean, Toronto is the 2-2. Two run two.
Yeah.
Toronto.
Right.
Bishop 2-2 and
Toronto. We have the luxury of listening to.
Hey, you know who's sitting across? Hey, Tom, I got something for you. There's a person sitting across from me who used to, and is running over. He knows what I'm going to talk about. This person used to tape us when we did International Connection with Adam Vaughn. And this person hated doing it. That's that person in the city. They just ran out of the room, okay?
Oh, so he knows me.
He knows your voice, yeah.
Oh.
He didn't want to hear it very long, but he read
my body. Maybe.
Okay, back to your topic.
Well, I was just saying, we have the only artist in the world right here.
Yeah.
Very, very few people can get you because of the low power. I just wanted to throw a couple of interesting points at you.
Go ahead.
Pick up where we were before.
That's right. You can do it.
The billions of dollars are being taken out of the SNL. Where have they really gone? And what's the connection with Bush's son? Is there an interesting...
Well, Tom, I had it from Cosmic Awareness. They announced about 10, 11 years ago in 1978-79 that certain members of the, we'll call them the Illuminati, withdrew $790 billion from the world economy, from their own distribution, and locked it back into their private vaults. That was 11 years ago. Knowing that at that point, you knew the 80s had no economic backing support structure, no money. I think these scandals have been propped up through the 80s to get people to have a fake explanation, a red herring about the fact that money was taken away a long time ago. The 80s have been a bankrupt decade, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been running on software.
Yeah, running on software.
And the industrial structure.
On money being hardware, the effect of the printing press.
What did you say about a listener?
that you may want to mention to the listeners, what you mean by that is that money is the creation of the printing press, which has now been obsolete by electric technology.
Yeah, so there's no basis for money, and credit was based on, say, from 1945 on, we were run by credit, but the people supporting credit from the hardware angle withdrew the credit 11 years ago.
Well, that's right, and as a result, we're back in the civilized tribal state where the barter is the only form of transaction.
Yeah, and this caller from New York, if you heard them, they're distinguishing.
Yeah,
art is money, and work from the heart is something different. We all have to work, we all have to make money, he calls that art. Okay, heart is barter. Barter is the direct encounter face-to-face with your needs and instincts. Right, with your basic addictions.
That's right.
And people will barter on all levels. So that's operating from your heart, from your instinct.
That's
from
right.
Feeling, that's tactile.
Here, no.
So we're living in a Mesopotamian environment, a Roman environment, the most primitive caveman environment. All times and spaces are what we're experiencing now.
Present, everybody's passively present, actively and passively present everywhere on the planet.
We take pleasure.
Everywhere in the universe.
And
to really understand.
That's the holistic.
And three.
The hologram. Yeah, the universe is a
hologram.
The whole universe is a hologram, partly supported, I suspect, by aliens. Now, you've been tracking the aliens. You have a particular prediction about the function of the aliens. Do you want to say something about that?
Well, I would only want to just touch on a very brief part of it. I don't want to go into the whole deep part of it, as you know. But I would like to say that I do think that there is one part of the Holy Office which does talk about the fact that spiritual forces will have to get people fueled up to believe that the planet is being invaded by aliens from outside this planet.
Yeah, that's Bill Cooper's role. Bill Cooper's a man running around talking about abductions, but carry on.
And I think that we have to realize that the spiritual world is another dimension.
Yeah.
It is a dimension that is without outside our realm, but one that the whole world eventually will wind up into. But that if the world is going to be prepared to believe that it's going to go to war with an invader from outside this world, naturally there's going to have to be more and more a pattern develop of more and more sightings and evidence, obvious evidence, barbells, quote unquote. That was an excellent description, by the way, of visitations from quote aliens from other planets or from other outside this world, which we are seeing. And I do think more and more and more, as we get down to the end time, we will see more and more of this happening and these sightings occurring.
Yeah, I think that would be one of the huge holographic events would be the arrival of certain alien capacities that the citizens of the Earth will see. Yeah, that would be a major hologramic point in the sense you're saying it won't be real or viable. It won't be something that will be related to the spiritual world or to truth. I don't know what truth
well,
is.
Well, if something pops out from another dimension into your world and leaves a mark and then moves back into another world, all the scientists in the world who are looking at that spot with technology that is used to measure things within the material universe will not be able to see it, hear it, feel it, or touch it, or sense it in any way.
Yeah. All right, Tom, we've got some more callers. Call back when we run low again. Frank, we'll leave with that percept.
Okay, yeah, sorry to cut Tom off, but we do have two more callers waiting in the wings. So does it keep this steamroller effect going?
Yeah.
Do you want to take a break? Do you want to get a towel?
I could never take a break.
Hello, CKLM.
Always on duty.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
How are you doing?
Good. Did you hear us talking about your check?
My check?
Yeah, number 114. I just realized I haven't given it to CKLN that you gave us back November 22nd.
No.
Yeah, so it'll get back to you. Some people here might be able to cash it. Okay?
No, what? How can you begin by confusing me?
That's our job, Andrew. You live at M4K1E8?
No.
Are you another Andrew?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, don't confuse me.
No, 14's with me.
What, 14?
Two fours. I replaced the first one with a four.
I know which Andrew this is.
Yeah, Mike and Vogel.
Oh, this is the guy with the long blonde hair? Yeah, the radio net.
That's right.
Sonic Edit. Yeah, I know who you are.
I've been trying the experiment tonight, and I've realized this is the only radio show I can't sleep to.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Usually I turn it off, but now I'm just not sleeping.
In other words, this is curious. You cannot handle media ecology.
You're putting words on my mouth.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, that's my job.
However. Oh, yeah, what? Yeah. Okay, listen, I wanted to say something.
Go ahead, Ian.
I wanted to say three things. I've forgotten the third now.
All right.
But I'm hoping it'll come to me.
Yes, it will.
You were talking way back about the discarnate effect on the phone.
Yeah.
How my voice is coming from somewhere else and I can't hear you through the earpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just like you use the word psychedelia, the psychedelic effect.
Yeah, I didn't really like using that, but...
Well, you used it, though.
I know, it was a mistake, maybe. Unless you can justify it.
Well, no, I just thought that, it's not what not everybody, but certain people are after the psychedelic effect.
Oh, okay.
And you're giving that to people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Okay, good. You like the
word. So, in essence, that you are the media drug?
Yes.
And then the next guy that you talked to, you told him that, that he didn't understand sex.
Yes.
Did you say that?
That we all, nobody understands sex.
Right, and then he said that he didn't understand you.
Yeah, and I was sex.
That you must be sex.
Yeah.
And I remember months ago, this guy got very, very upset and said that he didn't like your disembodied voice on the radio, and you invited him to come and sleep with you.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes. That was Dave from Baltimore.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know what that means?
What?
That, well, okay. If sex is not understanding, and that not understanding on the phone is what this guy is doing with you, then you guys must have been having phone sex.
Yes.
And that if also that you're drunk, that on the phone, all at the same time, you can be sex and drunk.
Yes.
All at the same time.
And videotape.
So you know what I want to know? Where's the rock and roll?
Yeah, I said videotape. Sex, drugs, and videotape.
Sex, drugs, and videotape.
I'll tell you.
It's supposed to be sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, if you want to follow that path, the rock and roll.
And three, isn't three the magic number? No more, no less?
No. You know where the rock and roll is? It comes at the end of the show. We call it our Tai Chi church yoga hymn.
tying the chi, are you?
Yeah. Chi. You know about chi?
By feeling.
Yeah. Okay, so rock and roll is always our hit song at the end.
Oh, I see.
Another year.
All right.
But the theme at the beginning, what was that all about?
Oh, that's subgenius mud. That's mud.
I think you guys need some surgenius music. Is that a subgenius?
Surgenius?
Yeah.
What would that be?
Well, something above subgenius, obviously.
You mean like S-I-R, like something
that's... No.
Lord genius?
No, that's Lord Genius or Knight Genius.
You sound like sir. We need everything.
Oh, yeah?
We need you. We need you, the audience. We do not exist. A game...
No, look, you know what you just did?
Flexible.
You put me into the impersonal state by categorizing me as the audience.
That's right, yeah.
How can you do that?
Because that's my power. That's my ability. That's my skill, my genius.
Is that why you get all that reverb?
Yeah.
See, I don't get that reverb when I can.
I know.
Wow. That's great.
See, we can split it up. We're splitting up acoustic space.
That's good of you. It's honorable.
And you're a professional, almost, acoustic space manipulator, so I think you should keep listening to the show.
Well, do I have a choice?
No.
There you go.
You're bolt awake in bed.
Would you tell Cecil Taylor to keep playing the piano?
Yeah, you know what I told... You know what I told Cecil Taylor when I had an encounter with him in 1975?
What did you tell Cecil?
He said he knew I was musical. He knew I was hip, so he said, "What instrument do you play?" "What do you play?" He says, I said, "I play the radio." Prophetic, wasn't it?
That's good,
yeah. Yeah, that's what we do. We play the radio.
Sure. Phonograph record.
Yeah. We are jazz.
So when I asked you about rock and roll, why didn't you just say, "Andrew, I am rock
over and
no, I'm not rock and roll. We're jazz."
Oh, what?
We're an alternative.
Am I tuned into the wrong station?
Yeah, we're all.
I wanted Q107, didn't I?
Yeah. No, we're not rock and roll.
Oh.
We do that. We're so divorced from rock and roll, we offer it as a church hymn. Can you imagine that? We're kind of use it as an icon, as something in the distance, a mountain, a twin peak.
Twin peak.
Because we're jazz.
Right.
You know, more better blues. More better blues. I mean, are they going to have me on the discussion? Who is it? Diaspora Music.
It's what's his name? Winston Smith.
Yeah, they're going to have a discussion tomorrow night. Is it?
Tomorrow morning.
Morning?
No, he was talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, they're going to discuss. They got Clifton, they got Winston, they got Mr. Diaspora. They should have me on, right?
It's the truth.
Yeah,
it's the truth.
I mean, I'm going to talk to them about Mo' Better Blues.
You should tell them that the first letter of Mo' Better Blues is M, which is the big M, which is McDonald's.
Yeah,
the
Twin Peaks. You're smart, Andrew.
Yeah. H-O is the scale for the next letter, which is M, which is H-O marginalized.
What is H-O?
H-O. H-O scale.
And you alone.
What's that?
It's the standard scale for model railways.
Which
is the train that's training us to think of H-O marginalized.
Shall we say 120?
Yeah, via rail cuts.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, Andrew, when you were 15, what did you think you'd be doing when you were 25? No, really, can you think back to what you thought you'd be doing?
No, you know what? When I was 15, I thought I would be dead by the time I was 18.
Why?
Because I couldn't conceive of being any older than that.
That's so sad.
It's true. No, it's true.
I think that's
true. I actually thought I was going to die in a car accident, if you want to know the truth.
You know, you're about the 400th person that told me that who was under 30.
There you go. Well,
I think that's part of the discarnate effect.
It is.
Kids who grow up discarnate, like Bruce himself, he sometimes feels suicidal. You know, he still had that hair from high school. And,
No, it wasn't suicidal. No way. It's just, was just me. Well, I'll tell you what I now realize.
Okay.
Is that I'm immortal.
She says.
No, it's true. See, you laugh at it. But and it's funny because you expect people to take in the absurdity of everything you say. But you're laughing at my absurdity.
After using the record.
You're going way over your head, Andrew. You know, you misunderstood me in a couple points, but I'm not going to embarrass
Which
you.
Which 2 points were those?
First of all, I don't take you seriously, and whatever else you said. We're in the next moment now. I can't remember.
These are the twin points.
I began at $240 a month.
You began at $240 a week.
I made the twin point.
Yeah.
I was making $360.
$360. $1 for each degree on the circle. Huh?
Isn't that when you were 15? That's why you couldn't see 18. You can't live
I would recommend them to anyone.
Why didn't you ask me about 14, Bob? I thought that was the magic number today.
It's a new number for Lemurian sensibility, which I detect. You wouldn't have been on. I don't think you've ever been on the show before, have you?
No.
Yeah. So you call up on the 14, and you're picking it up, and I thought you were check 114, and
most
you
users
are the new Lemurian sensibility. You laugh with the recognition.
This is the best thing that happens to me all day.
Yeah, when you're laughing, you're learning. That's one of our main maxims here at the church. When you're laughing, you're learning.
Is that true?
Laugh along with Bob.
Yeah, I drop my G's. When the farms were talking about when they had fields.
What the that made no sense.
He's quoting from Who's Forgotten Furry Lint.
We do that
in
our
most awesome tapes.
You're talking about Furry Lint.
Yeah, Furry Lint was
something in the
Mike is now in meaning. The tapes of Who's Forgotten Furry Lint.
You know,
Mo'
Better Blues.
Mo'
Better Blues.
I mean, are they going to have me on the discussion? Who is it?
Tomorrow night.
If I'd asked you how you felt when you were 14, maybe I would have got a warmer response. I hit the wrong number. Do you play electric guitar?
Yeah, sure.
Do you like Hype magazine?
Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, that's right. Hip is hype, right?
That's right.
H-I-P was H-Y-P originally.
That's right.
And then that came from Hippocrates. Hippocrates. Or hypocritical. You get that?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And then personality came from persona, which was the term that the Greeks used for the mask they wore when they were on theater.
This is true. Sort of grade 13 English. That's right.
Yeah. Who told you that?
Some students.
My grade 13 English.
And their name? His name? Meaning? What was the teacher's name?
The teacher's name? My grade 13 English?
Yeah. Who taught you that?
Well,
When I was 15, I thought I would be dead by the time I was 18.
Yeah, because 18 was running the show. That's the Atlantean consciousness is 18 and 22.
Right. So,
That's true.
No, it's true.
Yeah, so when you got past the Atlantean... Yeah, I think you're hopping to it. See, this is what's so magical about this show. We have callers...
Hey, Bob, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is that why now I have to now drive to...
You gain enough speed...
Now, Mike, you blotted out the guy's questions. Mike is getting rude. Stay with it, Andrew. Do it again.
I just wondered if that's why I now have to drive to California.
Okay, yeah.
Because the difference between the Atlantic and the Pacific thing.
Yeah, 14. What's your license plate number? Is that a 14?
My license plate number? Yeah. I don't know, you're getting into the numerous thing, huh?
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Listen, what is your favorite form of information?
Favorite form?
Yeah.
It's visual. Visual.
Do you mean by the photograph or alphabet?
No, not the alphabet. More the photograph.
I'll take you seriously and whatever.
Do you wear glasses?
No.
Hmm. That's strange. Yeah, you have a preference for photograph and visual, and you don't wear glasses.
That is true. You began. What are you getting at, Bob?
You stumped me. You've stumped me, number 14. I think that's our homage on August
22nd. This is
the first time Bob's been stumped.
The man on the megaphone in the pond saying, number 14, your time is up.
Hey, did you ever notice in The Last Waltz, you know, Bob Dylan's the movie with the band?
No, I never saw that.
When you see it, near the end. No, really.
I like that.
When you see it.
You know,
they flash a number 82. This is important.
But if you say when I see it, does that mean that if I do my best not to see it, that I'll probably live forever?
Yes. Great. Dylan said in his Rolling Stone interview in 1978, when you get up in the morning and cut your fingernails, you're dead. You die. That's a Gnostic view. Don't interact with matter or any extensions of matter.
As often as you
will. So if you don't use your eyes, you'll live forever.
If I don't use my eyes, I'll live forever. But didn't I start this by telling you that I was immortal?
You are in charge.
Immortal?
Immortal.
Yeah, so we've come not even full circle.
$360 a week, Bob.
Okay, if you start off saying you're immortal, and then I'm pleading with you to not say so you can stay immortal, I've been stumped again, I've become redundant.
That's it.
This shows the power of 14, and they can stump Bob. It's never happened, but it happened on the 22nd.
True.
Because 22nd is weakening.
Every week?
Andrew, you did it. Well, what's in the word Andy?
Pardon?
Andy, Mike, let's look at this guy's name, Andrew. Andy. Andy, D.
You get
See, if you take Andy and switch around, you get D, E, A, N, D, Y, A, N, that's D. Yeah, I think this is the Dean element coming out here.
What? That's a lame anagram, Bob. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, I'm weakening. I'm getting deep bad, Mike. Let's cut this number 14 off. I'm losing rapidly, Mike. Okay,
for dictation.
Cut him off, Mike.
Cut me off.
Cut you off, baby.
That's
you're gone.
Weird.
Yeah, you're gone, baby. Yeah. You're making me look awful.
All right, I'm not
sleeping. You never sleep again.
That's the one power you've got, Bob.
Yep.
You can stump me, you know, I can stump you all you like.
On the content level, but I got you on the formal level. I got you on the environment.
It's true, and you know what? You know what the difference between being awake and being asleep? It's the eyes. You were talking about the eyes.
Yeah, that's it. Well, the eye is the only sense that is isolated from the other senses.
That's right.
Yeah.
So by keeping me awake, you've got that under control.
Yeah, because you remain isolated.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Andrew, it had to happen to you, but you're the Bardo transmission figure as we move into 14 consciousness.
Great, thanks for nothing, pal.
Mitraya.
Good night.
Maitreya, Mitraya. I'm trying, we try ya. Mitraya? Let's hear from that Lord Maitreya Meyer, you know, the listener, the one who likes Benjamin Cream.
It is.
Kids. Did you cut Andrew off? Or is that that's his tape? Oh, Mike, I almost feel tired.
You
know?
You look tired.
No,
tonight.
I don't.
You
look, I don't look tired.
No, I'm stretching a few, a few moments.
We've been
tonight.
Working tonight.
Wow. It's about 1:45.
Oh, we gotta go more.
We'll start wrapping things up, I think. And
Mike, did you want to say anything? You haven't anything to say all night.
I made a few comments about media ecology and about television and about David Lynch. So I said a little more than I usually have.
Anything about Bob Mackowitz we should talk about?
I think, again, it's a personal matter. You know it's not going to lead to anything. I think once we're turned down by this organization,
then we can tear them apart.
Yeah, it's very much like in my current relationship with certain organizations that we're not allowed to talk about in the organizations in the city. Yeah, which we got our wrist slapped for that prior to this. We'll just, keep it to me. I don't know what. Well, there is another phone call.
Okay, take the call. We need the energy.
We've got 15 minutes left in the Church of the Subgenius.
Bob's aging.
2 hours condensed into 10 minutes. My name is Michael Dyer, and with me is,
Dorian,
of course,
Gray.
J.R. Bob Gray.
Gray, right in front of Mike, out of the intense effect of August 22nd.
So we'll go right to this next call. Hi, see Callan.
Yeah, Bob.
Efficient Kai. Okay, go ahead. Right into it.
Bob.
Yeah.
You're fantastic, baby.
Baby?
You're fantastic. yeah, this is the Maitreya guy.
Oh, great, you heard him.
No, well, I was on hold for about the whole call.
No wonder I'm fantastic. I predicted you, didn't I?
You predicted it.
You know, the guy does Life Rattle, Arnie, you know his name, Arnie? Arnie Ackman, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, he thinks the show is scripted. I told him it isn't, but this kind of stuff appears scripted, but it wasn't. You'll testify to it even though you're anonymous.
Yeah,
Maitreya is the topic you bring up. I wanted to talk to you. You were on hold. I didn't know that.
And as soon as you said it, I got cut off, so I didn't call back.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure you'll have a topic to get us to the next 10 minutes.
No, well, you were just saying that. I called earlier and played those sounds.
Yeah, very good sounds. Or which are the last sound session? The last
the,
not the water one.
And then I was asking about the Second Coming cushion.
Yeah, you did say cushion.
Yeah,
and,
but my tape was going, so I didn't have the radio on, so I didn't hear you responding.
Wait, what were the sounds that you used in that tape?
We were just walking down the street making noises with our mouths.
Oh, yeah, right, the chant.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We were just jamming.
Mike's picking his nose, it's disgusting that it is.
And Mike has that reaction to me.
Go ahead.
No, you were just saying that you don't know what truth is, and that's what Christian Murray says, that as long as there's an I, truth is not.
That's right. Do you follow Krishna Murthy?
I just read some of his stuff.
I think he was the first brave subgenius philosopher.
He was the last hero.
Yeah,
as the male model role playing goes.
Of left hemisphere, asking the question why. He was the last philosopher, right?
Yeah, he was the last one. He said there is nobody to follow, and so. Then he hung up.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, and he said, and he had a worldwide audience, and he said, I don't believe in anything. He was in the East-West Journal about a year before he died. He died the same week as Herbert W. Armstrong, and very close to L. Ron Hubbard. They all died together in early 86.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover story, and I think it was East-West Journal, you know, the New Age magazine, had a picture of him, and he said, I don't believe in anything. And that's a man who dealt with people's beliefs all his life.
Yeah.
You know, that's what his gig was, to not destroy, but to clarify people's belief systems, right?
Yeah.
And you know that's concept. You know what comes, who comes after Krishnamurti? You can guess.
The Gap.
That's right. The man, the Mr. Gap. You know who that philosopher was?
Mr. Gap, no.
Yeah, McLuhan.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote an editorial for a dental journal. And the title was The Gap is Where It's At.
Is that right?
Yeah, for a different journal. But Mr. Gap is McLuhan, and he went beyond concept to percept. He knew that media were our new lungs, our new organisms. In other words, media technology themselves were parts of the animal organism. So we're growing stuff. You know, there are astrologers running around doing readings, telling you your past life when you were half fish and half horse, or half human and half tree. You know, this is the latest in the new dimensions world. Or, you know,
Andrew Blair.
Oh, did you read
that?
That
is his trip, that
guy. Okay, these guys are still embedded in nature, right? Using nature images. And they're telling you when you were half horse and half tree, well, what about when I was television, or when I was radio, or when I was movie? That happened in the 20th century. Give me some past life readings on that.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what I do. That's why I'm the greatest psychic. It's unbelievable that you young ones can hear the greatest. I mean, this is Second Coming Christian. I must be the Second Coming Christian.
Do you remember you saying that?
When? Oh, many shows ago, I think I did.
You were talking to Dave about...
Yeah, I did say that. Thank you. I mean, this is what I like. This is called creative activity. You're quoting me from previous statements, therefore taking me serious, creating some conceptual and perceptual continuity.
Good, there you go.
This is your subgenius. You know what I'm saying? That. This will be on tape. This is going all over the satellite environment later. Bob Mackowitz is going to make this big.
Well, Bob, I don't think that other Well, you're not a man in that sense. But men don't, you know, express, you know, appreciation is enough. In, you know, your sense
of... But I express the joy of right and left hemisphere male and female aspects and more.
Yeah.
You know, the animal, the instinct, the rat, the snake, the lion, and the automobile. You ever look in the back of One Size Fits All, Frank Zappa's album? Okay, One Size Fits All. Look in the back cover is a picture of the skies, you know, the universe, the astronomy world. And he has the traditional mappings among the stars of shapes of animals, you know?
Yeah.
But he imposes more prehistoric animals, and he puts cars and mechanical gadgets on it. That's a more accurate percept of what we're talking about.
That's the ugliness of art.
Yeah, that's Bob as a little kid, right?
But,
a little female girl. A female girl. You got to distinguish that because we're all girls under just kind of right hemisphere feminine conditions of the right hemisphere electric environment. So you have to say a female girl rather than a male girl, right?
Yeah.
Like, I express the femaleness of male girls.
The femaleness of tomboys.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Tombobs.
Tombobs.
Kent, did you want to? You want input here, Kent?
No, I'm just here to hang out.
Yeah, just call her. Kent came in. He never comes in, but he.
Yeah.
No, Bruce doesn't want to say anything.
I don't know, but that all relates. I was just thinking about the ugliness of art and how Captain Beefheart is so hard for a lot of people to listen to because he got that ugly quality. And he also mentions a lot in his little a cappella songs on Trout Mask. He mentions little girls.
That's right. Yeah.
Girl,
see, you're the one who did. Did you notice? Did you hear our show on July 11th when we had the Zappa guy here and we started off with your opening message, and I got them to rewind it several times because I wanted to hear your quoting Troutmaster Replica. What's it called? The blimp. It's a blimp.
Oh, the blimp.
Yeah. What was your opening quote? You said, "Look, Ma, it's a blimp." No. It's
the mother shield. The mother shield.
Yeah. So you.
No. Master, this has had to be recorded through a Fonzie.
That's
have
right.
A file out of
yeah. You see, I guess I thought it was that because they have similar tones, those two phrases.
Yeah.
No, that, I fell in love with you temporarily and just for a short time because I had to go back home to Connie and deal with the other levels in solar government, but I fell in love with you and made a point of Kent replaying it because that's one of my favorite things. You know, Alan Watts, a follower of Krishnamurti, used to talk about LSD was like looking at reality through a fly's eye.
Yeah.
You see, you know, those little kaleidoscope things that Ray has.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Ray has the old sky, you know, that's looking at the flies. You know, they see fragmented kaleidoscopic images, right? Holograph. Almost like a fragmented holograph. That's the psychedelic visual extension of the movie medium, which is visual and kinetic. But we're tactile, and that's what you're telling me. I express the tactile nature of maleness. You know what I mean? We've never had males express that before.
Yeah.
You know, the fantastique, that innocent pleasure of the most intimate conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The most intimate exchange of
The stuff intimacy. That doesn't usually get transmitted.
Yeah, no one can do it.
Stuff that's usually in the gaps.
Yeah, that's right.
Great stuff.
We are hearing the gap via Bob, and Tom knows that. That's why he says I'm the worst and greatest artist alive today. I can express the gap. This is incredible. Thanks. It really helped me understand myself.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. But I guess Ray prophesied you're going commercial this year. You're going to go...
That's right.
Much.
Kay did that, didn't
yeah.
Kay, Ray did
Ray.
That. When he was reading one of the Rays, he did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Man, do you listen to the tapes at least twice?
Usually.
Three times. Yeah. Don't you find they get richer and thicker and that there's a continuity?
Well, I find that I commit them almost to memory, and people think I'm nuts.
Well, I'll tell you some interesting accidental things, is that someone left a message, I think it was Jerry, talking about the Mondo 2000 musician and music editor who was a personal friend of Mary McLuhan, okay? That was played last show. Our Tai Chi theme song at the end, our rock and roll, was all about Mary. But I had planned that beforehand, but I didn't know that this would relate. You know, I didn't think of that until later, but when I hear the archives, it fits. The echoes in each show are phenomenal.
There's a couple of other callers, and it's getting...
Okay, well, I should go then.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for responding.
Okay.
Thanks for your input.
Thank you.
Speak.
Night. Okay, got another call. Hello?
Bob.
Tom, what do you think of the show? This is the first time you've heard a whole show, I bet.
This is the first time I've heard a whole show.
What do you think, eh? Isn't it awesome?
I've been on vacation working hard.
Well, you think this is awesome?
Well, it's excellent.
Thank you.
There's no doubt that you're doing an awesome job here. And I'm about to submerge and disappear for a few months and continue to go back on assignment for you.
Yes.
Traveling around the world.
Which you can do.
But before I go, what I just wanted to say, since it's the 22nd, is that we reached a real milestone. And I don't know whether or not we hopefully we'll be able to get you on a satellite network worldwide, so people can start calling in from around the world.
Yeah.
And can hear you around the world. I imagine that's the last and best hope for all humanity, in order to shake them out of their present mindset.
That's right.
And
Tom, did you hear the previous caller talking about I Express the Gap? It's never been done before.
Yes.
That was amazing. Now, I thought of you as he said that. I said, I hope you're hearing that because you would understand that.
Yeah.
I'm expressing the emotion of the gap that goes on when people stutter and they pay attention.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing what the caller evoked.
Yeah. Well, you're able to turn the discarnate into the holographic.
Yeah. Audiograph.
And audiographic as well.
It includes all senses.
That's
true. Yeah, you're right.
But there's a tremendous amount out there for people to study. There's a lot of new things that they can get into, and I urge them to continue and to come on your show and to continue to ask you about the events going on around them that's affecting them, their lives, and yet they're not aware of it. Of course, humor is great. I heard a great comedian the other day. He was talking about how for his birthday he got a humidifier and a dehumidifier, and he thought he'd just put them all in one room and let them fight it out. Then he tried to get a job working for a fire hydrant manufacturer, but he couldn't find a place to park. And then he went and got a job working as a proofreader for a skywriting company. And I thought that was a tremendous move from the left hemisphere to the right hemisphere, tactile nature.
Well, you're talking about submerging. How about getting a job as a deckhand on a submarine?
That's right.
Or go down to the train station and pretend you're leaving and get paid for it.
Anyway, listen, I'll let you go. Thanks to CKLN. And you keep up the good work, and I'll touch base with you probably near the end of the year, sometime maybe in October or November, and report further. But I'm going down to, I'm going on assignment to Iraq.
And Iraq?
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Iraq. Iraq. And who's sane?
Yeah, who's sane?
Who is sane?
When I rock, who's sane?
When I rock, who's sane? And I'll get back to you. I've got my passport, my dummy passport, because I'm Dan Rather Jr. So I'll be able to travel all through the Middle East. No one will bother me.
You'll have media immunity. It's not like a diplomatic immunity, it's media immunity.
That's right.
Heather, you just tell them you're working for Bob Dobbs, Church and Some Genius radio broadcast, right?
That's
never
right.
Never to interview anybody.
Well, that's what I always do.
That's why those famous Bedouin carry stereos and electronic equipment on their camels. They want to look like they're working in an electronic environment and it's not subject to tribal warfare.
That's it.
Thank you.
Good night, Bob.
Good night. Bye, Tom.
Good night.
Okay, well, there's 3 minutes left. There is one more call. We do have your music to play as well, so...
What time is it?
It's 3 minutes.
Okay, this caller, if it's Dublin, he gets 1 minute. No, 2 minutes.
Okay.
It might be Dublin.
Hello, CKLN.
Hi, the dead people are watching you on TV tonight.
Simple statement. It's. Do you want to elaborate on that?
No, just go to the Iraq Hussein.
Iraq. You know our pun? Between a rock and a hard place? Rock is software turns societies to stone electrically, and the hard place is the old hardware mechanical industry. Okay, so Bush is the man in the gap, the woman in the gap is between Iraq and a hard place.
I'm totally into it.
Thank you. Okay, can you dig a rock and roll coming up? Here it comes. This is all about eco-fascism. This is how we've destroyed the 6 months of peace we've had, right? We blew it, right?
We're raining all over it.
The peace dividend overwhelming. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Bob, thank you for a good show tonight. It was fun. I like the pace. I like the intensity.
It was for you, Mike.
And I guess this is it for a few weeks, huh?
Yeah, I'll be back in 3 weeks. And this show, the intensity, the pleasure of it was your wedding anniversary present from Bob and Connie, okay?
Oh, that's sweet.
To you and your
woman. My name is Michael Dyer. You're listening to CKLN 88.1. Stay tuned for Kent Perry at 2 o'clock with more goodies, no doubt.
Side 2, we got Dr. Beter Part 2 coming up. You got Side 2 on?
Dr. Beter?
No. Yeah, Dr. Beter's coming on Kent's show.
Who cares about Dr. Beter?
I know, but we got Side 2 there?
You guys never do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I ruined the anniversary present. I'm sorry,
That's it. See you in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise Bob.
There was a tall oak tree.
They love the babbling. And that was CKLN from August 22nd, 1990. Gee, I wish I had that Kent Perry show. I don't have it. That's lost to the ages. Why didn't I keep that?
Love the sky above.
I got a race. Maybe I do have it. I'll check when I go home.
The creator looked down and saw.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. Even Daniel liked it. He's a tough audience.
And the piece of mud.
This is the church theme.
He made a man.
Obviously recorded from some other radio station because, we're going to go to a call.
Then along came the devil.
CKLN, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? This is Devin the Dude.
Hey, good. Hey, how are you?
All right.
What's up?
Just cooling, man. Returning your call, man.
Did you like hearing Bob?
Huh?
Did you like hearing Bob the last hour?
The last hour hearing Bob?
Yeah.
Nice that I'm in Houston, man. I just called in because I saw that you called me yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, if I called you yesterday, you know, this is CKLN. This is CKLN, the radio station. You're on the air right now.
Oh, what's happening, man? What's happening? How's everybody doing out there?
Hey, it's good. It's good. Well, thanks for calling. I don't know who called you. I didn't call you, but somebody else called you from this station. But and I don't know who it would have been. Do you know who it would have been?
Joey, maybe.
Who?
Somebody. I'm not for sure, man.
Yeah. All right. Okay, it's early in the morning. Anyway, thanks for phoning in. It's delightful hearing from you.
Okay, cool,
man. Phone in again and listen to CKLN 88.1, the International Connection. We start at 8:30 every Sunday. Hold on, wait a minute.
Periods of rain and drizzle. High today around 20, mainly cloudy. Occasional rain and drizzle. Low near 18 tonight, mainly cloudy. Showers, chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. 24 the high Sunday. But a 70 to a 100% chance of precipitation all weekend. But we've got the oldies here on FM 108 and 17 degrees at 11:52. Dave Smith in with the Proco Harum.
Yeah, so, it's going to be warm out there today.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be real nice.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Have a blessed day, and see y'all in Canada real soon.
Oh, where are you?
Houston, Texas.
You're in Houston, Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you, my American brother.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have a lovely day, man. Okay. Enjoy your day. Be blessed.